Here, the old gods are dead.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hiya, this is the Creepy Wee Podcast. I'm Rebecca Alway.
Liam.
And today we're going to be talking about some ooky spooky Scottish customs. This is going to be a wee bit of a shorter episode, mainly because me and Liam are recording this less than 24 hours before it's scheduled to release.
Yeah, we're really banging this one out as fast as we can. Sorry for the quality, I guess.
But firstly, we'd like to thank Emma, who kindly reached out and lent us a hand with some research. We're very, very grateful for that. As for sources for this episode, I am working on a website for us, but it's slow going, but I will eventually be able to put all sources up there. My main source is a book, Scottish Customs by Sheila Livingston. That's the main source that I'll cite. The rest of them will go up on that website when I'm done, but just hold off for that. Anyways, let's get into some ooky spooky Scottish superstitions and omens. So, Scottish views on death and funerals are largely find their origins in paganism. Do you care what paganism is, Liam?
Yeah, I do actually know what paganism is, but why don't you explain it?
I always thought I knew what paganism was, and then was asked once, because I have a pagan tattoo, and this is what's worth of it. I have a pagan tattoo, and then so I was like, I got it when I was 19, and I was like, oh, I've got a pagan tattoo. And somebody was like, what's paganism? And I was like, fuck. anyways, but I know now. Paganism is nature-forced focused religions that existed before Christianity and other main world religions. The Pictish and Celtic people of Scotland and Ireland were strongly pagan before the introduction of Christianity. I feel like
it was all downhill from there.
Yeah, I feel like it's on the rise, though. It's gone through a moment.
Oh, yeah, people are enjoying nature at the moment. I'm like, yes, come on, climate change.
That brief, sweet moment in the sun. We can't do that anymore. So, Celtic people very strongly believed that the veil between this world and the next was very thin, which is actually why...
Like me.
The veil is skinny, but that is why we celebrate Halloween. That is a Scottish and Irish thing that we invented something again, and it was Halloween.
Was it Samhain? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I probably should have actually googled what the original word was.
Yeah, I think it's Samhain, but it's spelled like Samhain.
I mean, I don't know if. Scottish people are ooky spooky anyway, but I believe still that the veil between this world and the next is very thin. I believe in ghosties and ghosts and fairies and all that shit. So
I was haunted the other night and I was just like, I'm not in the mood today. I'm just I'm just trying to go to sleep. Honestly, can you not?
Can the veil go back up? So Bronze Age Picts would actually stand guard over their dead until they were properly interred or cremated, and they were buried with food and wine as they travelled into the next life. That's a thing that comes up in a lot of different cultures, oh, yeah. Death customs, though.
Oh yeah, the Egyptians loved a little bit of bring all of your mortal possessions with you.
you're not getting any of this. But the Celtic rite of passage that has carried on until modern times in Scotland and has obviously travelled to the rest of the places that we populated is wakes. It's also an Irish thing as well. So the garden of the dead became known as a like wake. So Celtic people would guard their dead to make sure that they were protected against malicious spirits and that they could safely pass into the afterlife.
So, yeah, were they not doing it to protect them from fairies and stuff as well? I will say this on and on and on. Fairies are not nice creatures. Stop thinking that this Disney portrayal of a fairy is a nice thing, because I'm pretty sure wakes are specifically to keep away evil cat fairy things, which are not the one.
Yeah, the thing is though, when you do research on stuff like this, or when you Google stuff like this, and you're they always say the Picts were trying to protect their dead for malicious spirits, or trying to guide them so they didn't go to hell. By hell, they mean the land of the fae, and by evil spirit, they mean really they mean fairies. They didn't mean devils and stuff. Well, deals and stuff like that, but. Mainly they're talking about fairies. The biggest, most pressing issue for these people was to avoid fairies at all costs.
So the garden Baptist teas.
So the Garden of the Dead became known as a like wake, like being an obsolete word for corpse, and wake meaning to watch over. And then this continued the paganism into Catholicism, because we all ken that the Catholic Church just looked at what the pagans were doing and went, yes, we'll be doing that. I'll take some notes and I'll copy that. And then eventually that became wakes, which we still do at funerals, ken hair drink, stand around the dead body if the body's there and, or not, and then
kind of chat. It's kind of morbid. Oh,
they're good though. I like morbid. It is morbid, but I like a wake. It was also a superstition that if a corpse was left in the dark during their wake, that the spirit would become lost and then would be led on a road to hell. And by hell, we obviously mean the land of the fae.
The fairies.
Or some sort of immortal shithole, basically. They were very pressed about no going to this place. So candles had to be kept lit both day and night to prevent the soul from becoming lost.
Who knew? Who knew that it actually had cultural significance? I thought it was just an excuse to get drunk. That's kind of something we like to do, but okay.
I mean, it is an excuse now. It probably was an excuse at the time. They were we're doing this to protect the dead. Pour up another one.
Aye, that'll be a double head.
So, as an icky spooky country and people, Scottish folk often believed that death is something that was foretold. Folks still do this now. When people die, it's you can't, that was coming. My pal passed away when I was younger, and the night before she died, she was talking about which song she wanted played at her funeral, and then obviously she died the next day, and we were all an omen. When that was anything, everything.
Oh my god, I didn't know that that was I knew the story, but I didn't know that they were the night before. Oh my god.
Yeah, she was literally speaking about it the night before, so obviously when she died, all of us were oh my god, that's so weird. That must have been, she knew, kind of.
Yeah. I just have, images of people listening to this getting, emotional whiplash.
they're going... yes, this is the anecdote that I went for.
My dead friend.
I'm cutting that bit, man. Death is often something that can be foretold and is an omen in this country, which is why Liam is going to tell you about Scotland's most famous harbinger of death.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there's quite a few of them, actually, because we love a good washerwoman. For some reason, that's what the biggest bad omen is of death in Scotland, is washerwomen. It's a big thing in all Celtic religions. The one that's probably most specific to Scotland is the Ban Nia, or the Bawinia. She's the Banshee's cousin. We love a callback. Last episode, do you remember her who was paying attention? This will be on the quiz. Yeah, so she's an old washerwoman thought to haunt streams like in the glen. And apparently what you see her doing is like she's washing like the clothes of her unborn child, which is kind of, or was it stillborn or dead child? It's there's multiple.
Oh my god, this has given me big Mama vibes. Like the horror film Mama, is that what
I thought you were saying? This is giving me big Mama vibes. Like,
oh my god, like,
no. Not big Mama vibes. Although having said that, one of the images of the band Nia or Ben Nye, I've heard it said Ben Nye, but I feel like that's like not right. But one of the images of her is like a woman with like gigantic big mommy milkers that she like, I don't know, she like wraps around her, like, you know, like in Confessions of a Shopaholic, like Isla Fisher has that green scarf and she kind of just like wraps it around her neck. Oh, she does that, but with her titties.
Like Mama's House 2.
Mama's House 2, Electric Boogaloo. So with these breastesses, although she's a bad omen, it said if you like sneak up on her and you like, I don't, if you suckle the breast, you can be granted a wish by her. I'm not sure what you'd have to
obviously,
be going through.
Obviously, like you have to wish not to die at her hand.
Yeah. What, or she will kill
why,
you.
Why, like, other cultures, hey, like, rub on this lamp 3 times, we'll grant you a wish. And it's like, suck on like, this dead woman's
suck head. On this titty or die.
The fact that she's, like, rotted as well. Like, the mum and psycho, huge tit.
It's not that.
That's what she looks like if you Google her. It's, like, all skull and bones and just huge tits, like, oh my god, like Ken, it's like a picture on Tumblr or something where somebody's drew a skeleton, a woman, so they've put bone tits in for some reason because it's obviously like a guy who doesn't get anything about anatomy's drawn it.
Yeah,
that's what she looks like in my
I mean, Tumblr really is like the constant theme of this podcast. It's not about the sources we cite, it's the Tumblr posts we quote along the way. Yeah, anyway, continuing, there are actually more washerwomen than this. There's one that is like specific to Eile. Is that how you pronounce it?
Some folk, when they're talking about the whiskey, they'll call it Isla, but I've got a pal and it's spelled like that, and she goes by Eile.
Okay, so if you have to argue with us, argue with Becca's friend. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with your friend's name because she's a living person. So shout out to Eile. So there's a washerwoman specific to this area called the Cunhiag, I think, which I'm now realizing sounds like Cumrag as I say it. which literally I think pretty much translates as weeper. But instead of having the big titties to suckle on, she will literally just, like, if you perceive her, she will whip you with her laundry and then kill you, apparently. Oh,
no, her, like, spinning up a towel and smacking you on the ass.
Smack that ass like a drum. So her cry is said to be, as all fey washerwoman cries, is said to be a bad omen, and there's actually like this like I don't know if it's true or not, but there's a story about how people before the massacre of Glencoe, you know, when like 30 members of Clan MacDonald were killed by the government, Alexa play fuck the police by NWA.
Future episode.
Is it actually? Do we have plans?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Glencoe massacre is definitely a future episode.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, apparently people living there like heard the crying from the glen and were like, okay, I'm out, and then left. And then 30 people died, but it would have been more had other people not been like, I'm out.
Because they heard that cry, that like washerwoman, and were like, no, we've got to go.
Yeah. They boosted. I would have done the same. If I heard someone like screaming from the distance, I'd be like, maybe this is bad vibes. Maybe this isn't the move for today.
Gotta go fast.
So that's my tales of the washerwomen.
Well, mine's is kind of similar to that in that it's a deaf woman, but this is like they're either fairies or dislodged spirits or just omens of death. The interpretations that I've read, I'm going to go with fairies. They're called the Slua, and they come from the Western Isles, and it's said that they could drag people to hell and keep them there, or they would even return them and like really disheveled and like creeped out.
Yeah.
Like just completely exhausted and in a right state. But
me on a Saturday night.
Like they're like big bad bastards. Like they fly and like they're like huge. They're kind of like dementors, but they like go in packs. They come for the Western Isles. So like back in the day, Scots would like secure the entrances and windies in the west of their house when a person was dying to stop the slua coming in and claiming their soul, which is kind of creepy. Imagine you're like dying in bed, which would often be the case. And everybody's running about around you to make sure that, like, no devils can come in. Like...
You know that back gift where they're, like, all running around the house and then, like, someone grabs a gun out of the drawer and, like...
Oh, my God, aye.
It's very that.
And they, like, hit the boombox. So there's actually, like, a famous story. A Reverend Robert Kirk at Aberfoyle, who was found dead on Dune Hill, a reputed home of the Fae. Legend has it that Kirk appeared from beyond the grave with a message for his cousin, Graham of Dury. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Again, we are not linguists. Yeah, I would just like to stress the fact that we really are in over our heads in the terms of pronouncing things correctly. Department.
Yeah, our intelligence lies in something, but it's not that.
Not this.
So Kirk appears in front of his cousin, Graham, in a spectral kind of form, so like very Princess Leia. He's telling his cousin that he's no deed and that he's in the land of the Fae. So like a lot of people believe that like the land of the Fae like overlaps wares, but like it's like interdimensional or something like that. Kind of like how people say that Bigfoot and Nessie and stuff only appear because there's been a glitch in the Matrix or something.
Yeah.
So that is where the land of the Fae would be. It's like on top of yours or invisible. So he's appearing and he's saying that he's being held captive and he leaves instructions for his release. At the given hour, Kirk would appear again on Dune Hill where he was found, and Graham was to throw a dagger above the apparition, breaking a spell and releasing Kirk for captivity. Allegedly, Graham did actually go to Dune Hill. Kirk appeared, and Graham shot it so hard that he dropped the knife, dropped the dagger, and the spectre vanished, and Kirk was trapped there forever.
No, I think I wouldn't even have gone. I would even, like, that seems like a him problem. Me problem.
If I woke up and my dead cousin was at the end of my bed telling me to go and do shit, I'd be like, this must be a night terror. Like, getting him for actually gone.
Maybe don't smoke a joint before bed next time. I don't know.
I think it would be a good guess, though, that the spirits that managed to abduct Kirk and take him back to the land of the Fae and who did intend on bringing him back would have been the Slua, because that's, like, their MO. But obviously, like, they've put weird terms on him getting actually released and, like, proper Scottish fairy shithousery, because that's what they're getting. It's, like, proper Rumpelstiltskin stuff. Like, they say, like, weird shit in order for you to, like, be released for whatever curse they've put on you.
Yeah, like, misdirection.
Yeah. So that's the Slua. We're going to take a wee break, and then we'll come back and we're going to talk about some herbal superstitions and some ooky spooky bone superstitions. Okay.
I'm going to take this as we're back from the break now. So the next thing I'm going to be talking about is rowan trees, or rowan trees if you're of that persuasion. But yeah, so rowan trees are believed to be capable of warding off evil spirits and death. So they're like the complete opposite to everything else we've been talking about. So something that people in the past would do is they would like plant a rowan tree by their house as like a ward of protection, which is really interesting because like they're such a like, they're like a really strong tree. Like of all the trees you see like sort of like getting diseases and stuff when you're on your walks and that, I never really noticed a problem with them, but maybe I'm just over observant of that.
I didn't even ken what rowan trees looked like until I like googled it for this episode, and then we're like, oh, these are fucking everywhere in Fife. Probably because in Fife we're like so bad for killing witches, is that that's why they've been planted everywhere, especially in like Inverkeven and stuff, which is bad for witch trials. There's rowan trees everywhere, which I had no idea what they looked like. I just thought it was a normal tree, but they grow like wee red berries, eh?
Yeah, so, well, that's another interesting thing. So they're a ward of protection. The trees themselves are a ward of protection, but see the little red berries that grow in them? If you see a rowan tree, if you're ever near one, look at the berries, because see on the bottom of them, they actually have, like, a little five-point star, like a pentagram, on the bottom of them, each of the berries, which I thought is quite cool.
That's my pagan tattoo.
Yeah, like, that's a traditional Wicca symbol of protection.
Yeah.
Which... that's why I wanted to talk about them, because I just think that's neat. I think that's neat. No? Who else thinks that's neat?
Do you think that's a coincidence, or they've like chosen that tree specifically because of the wee 5-point star that's on the bottom?
That's the thing. I don't know, but I really want to know. So
I want
anyone
out
there has a time machine, let's like spin the narrative. Yeah, that's definitely what happened. Historians suck my ass. Yeah, so although they're all across Scotland seen as a sign of protection, the Highlands represent, in particular, had a lot of like taboo about cutting down bits of the tree other than the berries, and even the berries, it was like it was preferred that you scavenged them from the ones that had freshly fallen, as opposed to like pulled them off of the tree. But they did have like, for special occasions, they would use a twig from the rowan tree, and they would use that to like thresh grains for like important meals. So threshing the grain is like separating all of the grains. It's like, you know, when you sort of like spin the thing so that it like grinds them up and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So they used to use, they were so important that they used to use them to do that. But it was thought that if you unearthed the rowan tree or cut its bark off or its branches off, that that you would be brought bad luck. So yeah, don't, everyone just be warned, don't take branches off of rowan trees.
I seen a lassie on TikTok making wands. I don't know if it was like intentional that she like picked rowan as like her chosen wood for the, but she was like not like foraging it, she was like going in and grabbing it, and I was like I was like, that might be counterproductive.
Yeah, you maybe shouldn't do that, but that's her cross to bear. That's her problem. That's not my problem. It wasn't me. Bad energy don't come from me. But yeah, I just thought that was pretty neat, and I liked that it was about the Highlands specifically. As a big-breasted Highland girly, I am. Anyway, so you were going to talk about more herbal business, were you not?
Okay, so this one is actually near me. So obviously, as we said, traditional uses for plants and herbs and stuff were to ward off evil in some kind of way, or to bring good luck. So in South Queensferry, they use burdock in a weird way to ward off evil and bring good luck to their village, which in the past was a fishing village, but I'm not sure if it still is.
Yeah.
So every August, on the Friday morning of the annual fairy fair, a local man is covered head to toe in a flower suit made of burdock, and then is paraded around and is offered money and whiskey to bring good luck and ward evil away for the town. So, Liam, can you please Google the Bury Man and tell me what you see.
How do you spell it?
B-U-R-R-Y-M-A-N.
The Bury Man. it looks like
Midsommar.
You know the Absorbolov from Doctor Who? The
one oh my god.
I don't. Everyone, please Google this. Unless you have trypophobia, because you will not enjoy it. He's what? When you said flowers, I was expecting like.
But no, but like, it's like burdock. So like it's like sticky as fuck. Like burdock. If you didn't kind of, it's like a really really sticky plant. It'll stick to your jeans and stuff if you like walk by it. Also, fun fact: burdock was the inspiration for Velcro. Like some Swiss guy was like walking in a house and was like, huh, burdock is like really sticky and it sticks to everything. I wonder if I could imitate that. And then he made Velcro.
That's sick. But sickening.
Anyway, burdock is like...
I can't get over this image. I need everyone to know how disturbed I am by it. Please genuinely Google the Bury Man.
I didn't.
He looks like Cousin It meets Midsummer.
Genuinely, I didn't know what it was, and I think either my sister or my pal showed me it like last year, and I was like, what the actual, like, why are we like this? Why are we like this here? But basically, the Bury Man is meant to collect all the burrs for himself, as well as any ferns or flowers that he wants to decorate his costume. John Nicol, the current Bury Man, because this still goes on.
Of course it does. Why wouldn't
he? He admits to actually recruiting his family to help him gather the large number of burrs, approximately 11,000 that it takes to like make the 25 flat panels that act like natural Velcro, which can be wrapped around his body the morning of the ceremony. This process takes about half an hour, which isn't that bad considering that he's actually covered from head to toe. Like, it's only...
He wears wee booties.
Yeah, he wears a balaclava that's covered in burrs. And then he wears wee booties so he can walk. But basically, his arms are stiff and so are his legs. So he kind of has to, like... I don't know. He gets guided around by two people because it's that difficult for him to walk. It looks really uncomfortable. But he's wearing a balaclava... Yeah. Leaving only a small eye and mouth holes, a flower covered bowler hat tops off his outfit, and then he obviously wears his wee booties, and then he has a broad sash around his waist, which is currently made of the lion rampant, like the national standard of Scotland. He used to wear a Union Jack, but they've done away with that. So
good. We need to do that too. Everyone, when you're allowed to vote, please do so. No, I'm just kidding. Vote however you see fit. I'm not influencing anyone's views. But also, when...
But the nature of the suit means that he has to, like, walk uncomfortably around with his arms, like, outstretched. And it's a 7-mile slow walk. And then... On his trip, and by the way, if you've ever been to South Queensferry, you can have, like, actual... Like, it's not that big, but he does like a big circle around South Queensferry. So he visits several places in the town, and then he's not allowed to talk, and people offer him like money and whiskey, and he has to drink every single glass, every dram that's given to him, he has to drink it. So he is, and this is in summer, okay, like August, height summer.
Joy.
It's absolutely roasting. He's pissed as fuck, and he's covered heat to tate in really sticky, uncomfortable flour. Like, it sounds like actual torture is, but apparently John Nicol likes to do it, so.
Getting drunk and covered in something sticky. I am unfamiliar with that event.
But the tradition is thought to have begun in the 17th century, and although some believe it could be older, the exact meaning of it has been lost through the ages. But the main theories is that it was to bring like a good like fishing season, or that it was to like ward off evil and protect the children of the town. Similar ceremonies were held in Scottish fishing communities, notably in Buckie, to raise the herring.
When there had been
a particularly bad fishing season, now only the South Queensferry ceremony remains. So,
Try hard.
So that's my little
anecdote.
Midsummer nature anecdote. What are you doing next?
I'm going to say it again, girlies. Go Google that picture. I am still looking at it and disturbed.
It's genuinely frightening. I think I might go to the next one. And
we should go. Another idea for a vlogging experience. Available on our Patreon, which we don't have. But yeah, so
like a meetup. It's very fair.
Yeah, we could have a subreddit or Creepy Wee podcast, and then arrange a meetup with everyone just at this festival. Okay. Anyway, I digress again. So the next thing I'm going to talk about is, well, I get it's not really herbs, but it's like nature. We love nature here. So do you like birds, Becca?
Yeah, I love birds.
I know you do. Lesbian! Anyway, I know, but the quote is not, you know, from Bridesmaids.
When
she goes lesbian, yeah. So the quote is not it's not like lesbian or
it's
like,
not by erosion no.
Anyway, so I'm going to be talking about magpies now, and this one is like, I feel like it's pretty common knowledge, but I just wanted to like let anyone who isn't aware of it know that like all like, what are they called, is it like corvin birds, like all things like crows and magpies, mm-hmm. and ravens are often in Celtic myth, and even like Brittany, like Celtic, like in France, like
did I know all, like, in like last episode, like something appeared as like a Scotch crow.
Yeah so they're always associated with bad vibes. Yeah. So all, I don't know, they associate like a lot of black animals with bad vibes, actually, because like, you know that the expression black sheep of the family, that's actually the expression black sheep of the family, that's supposedly associated with the north of Scotland as well. And it's supposedly like, if like a sheep was born with like a black face in a flock, it was supposed to be a bad lambing season for the farmers. Anyway, digression.
I think I've heard that one before.
Who knows this one? So yeah, in Celtic myth, blackbirds were seen as like evil bringers of death and misfortune, while whitebirds were bringers of good luck and good fortune. So the magpie was kind of the awkward cousin in between. She was like, I don't know which lane to choose. Like, she was like, I don't know, do I want to be an influencer? Do I want to go to university? Like, you got to choose one. there's actually the saying, well, there's like a full poem, but like the most famous part of it is one for sorrow, two for joy, about magpies. So supposedly seeing one magpie is a bad omen, two is a good omen. But something that is very specific to Scotland is that seeing I'm not sure that it's specific, but it's most popular in Scotland from what I've read, that seeing a magpie at your windowsill is a sign of impending doom. And I live in the middle of Glasgow city centre, not near a single tree, next to the river. And 2 weeks ago, no, like 3 weeks ago, I'm pretty sure I told you at the time, outside my flat window, which is like in a courtyard, again, near no trees, so there should be no magpies nearby. And one singular magpie was sat by my window, and I was like, okay, well, that's it. I better make my will. I better say goodbye to everyone. Like, the thing is like, if they're not a sign of like a bad omen or something, why else was it here? Like, that thing definitely just appeared from that fucking fairy realm and was here to like mess with me. Anyway, so if I die, Becca will be running the podcast on her own. Don't miss me too much.
We know why. But have you never heard of the thing, like, I didn't think that this was a thing until recently, but like, all my pals do it when they see a magpie, they salute it.
Really? Oh wait, no, yeah, actually, I think I was talking about magpies with my friend the other day, and I feel like they said something like that, and I was just like, okay, you know, like sometimes when I zone out and I just laugh and go, haha, so true.
This whole podcast.
Yeah, rewind, and every time I say slay, that means I didn't take the Ritalin today. Yeah, but like, in all honesty, Scottish people are always kind of just assuming shit is related to death or bad luck, like everything. Like when I was little, my granny, she waited for me to pick a dandelion and then turned around to me and said, did you know picking a dandelion means you're going to pee the bed at night? And then I was like, I started crying. This was like the worst thing because I was like, I don't want to pee the bed.
Did you pee the bed?
I didn't. So maybe sometimes Scottish people also lie, but who knows? It was not the move. Granny's lie. But yeah, that was...
Oh my god, I was googling like other flowery stuff to pay for this. I'm not going to be doing any more herbs and flowers and stuff, but mind when you were wee and folk used to put like a buttercup up to your neck and they'd be like, oh, you like butter. Like, yeah. Everybody likes butter if that's the case. But yeah. They were actually put in wee bags and tied round folk's necks to be a cure for insanity. I just thought that was unusual. Because I put many a little flower up to my neck when I was wee, and I'm still mental, so clearly didn't work.
I'm gonna like make a Burry Man suit out of buttercups.
this is the cure. This and a good lobotomy.
Not lobotomy. Yeah, so I hear you want to talk to me about bones, Becca. You want to show me a lucky bone?
So one of these like superstitions actually continued until fairly recently. Like, you think that mucking about with like corpses and like bodies in a way to like prevent like death or bad luck and stuff would be like a pretty archaic kind of thing today, but apparently. Yeah. So
not in Scotland.
I'll save the most recent one for last, but I've got a couple more here. So witches who wish to invoke harm on others would take their aptly named cursing bone, which was often a small hollow bone for a deer, to the hen house of their target.
Every single part of this section is gonna be funny to me. Every time you say a thin, hollow, dirty, dusty, nasty little bone.
She takes her dirty, dusty, nasty little bone to the hen house, a potential target, after sunset and before sunrise. And then she would take a hen and wring its neck, decapitating it, and pour the blood through the hollow of the bone, cursing the home and the land that she was on. This would likely be the kind of curse that would bring a poor harvest or death onto the family living there. So this is kind of like big witch vibes, like the film The Witch.
Bones and blood and chickens, that's a big thing in like all witchy cultures, like not just Scotland. Like,
voodoo kind of thing as well. Azealia Banks and her cat. Black magic and like the like kind of like work, like working with like dead things and stuff like that, that's all very bone blood focused. Yeah. Like, if you want to invoke a curse on somebody like that, that's kind of how you go about it. But like,
this is actually an instruction manual.
So here's a how-to. My next tutorial is going to be on how you can turn frog bones into aphrodisiacs. I'm not joking. Like, that's literally what I'm meant to do. Like, I'm literally, get your notebooks out. So mare animal bones were sustainably preserved and repurposed for spells. So a crooked bone taken from a frog killed very specifically on St. John's Eve, which is the 24th of June, was cleaned, dried, and then put on a fiery burning rowan. And then this was considered to be a love potion. And it was sprinkled over food to invoke the desired person's affection. People also took the dried bones and sprinkled it over food to make up after falling out. So no communication, no anything like that. Like, didn't talk about your feelings or that. Just take a frog bone, dry it up, turn it in an aphrodisiac, and that's fine.
Yeah, you don't need communication in a relationship. You just need frog bones.
Feels like this is a very... maybe talk
how
to it
dare
in 30
you
days.
Request I talk about my feelings? No. That's kind of hot, though.
I mean,
grind some frog bones.
Folk were actually out there doing this. Is this not like one of the things that they talk about, Tay? And is it in Macbeth? They talk about putting frog bones in the... In their shit.
Probably. If you want to talk about things
it's Eye of
Macbeth
Told,
has everything. I. Macbeth has it all.
Macbeth's a future episode topic, I'm not joking.
Oh, for sure. Anyway,
that's
yeah,
it for continue. My spells. The thing that I was talking about that like is actually like continued until fairly recently is the skull of the victim of a suicide was often sought after. And treasured by
yes,
kids. Yeah,
yes,
this is like a big thing. So druids and wise men and stuff would like fight her getting the skull of the victim of suicide because it was often thought to cure life-threatening illnesses, mainly epilepsy. Very specifically, this was to cure epilepsy. Like, no, like, for, like skull drinking or, like, to be, like, cool and vampiric or anything like that. Like, it is, like, genuinely, they were like, oh, epilepsy, that's unexplainable. This is it. So it was...
I mean, I just want to know the thought process behind the first person going, you know what would help this? Suicide skull. Yep. I've heard that about her. What crack was being smoked?
Well, I think all the bones of a victim of suicide were like very sought after, but like the skull specifically. Yeah. Eventually, like this suicide aspect of it gets dropped, and it is just skulls that become a cure for epilepsy. So it was dug up after sunset and before sunrise. Great film. And then it was cleaned and filled with holy water, and then it was drank out in complete silence to invoke a cure. If anybody made a noise, it was fucked. So obviously, that's like the failsafe for this spell not working. It's like, oh well, like somebody breathed too loud or somebody farted. So that's why you've still got that's why you've still got epilepsy. Like, isn't it that the fact that this is like total nonsense? In the area near the Well of the Seven Heads in Invergarry, there's a legend. Oh, that's a future podcast episode. Like, it's a very ooky spooky place. But there's a legend of a woman who was buried in the moors near there, whose skull involuntarily surfaced out of the ground. And then it was taken to a wise man or a druid who preserved it in a silver casket and used it for years to cure epilepsy in the area. And I think...
Did it work?
I think well, this cure for epilepsy was still being carried out into the 20th century.
Well,
folk were still doing this, like, less than 100 years ago.
Yeah, you don't need your, Valium or that for epilepsy, you just need skull. You need good head.
That's kind of all I've got for the scary, kind of darker stuff, the creepy stuff. But this is just a cute wee aside when I was like googling all the bones and the gore and stuff, that in the lowlands of Scotland, like near the borders and stuff, the Tooth Fairy was once depicted as a wee white mouse that would purchase lost teeth for coins. And that's like a thing in like France and Germany and stuff. It's not a tooth fairy, it's a wee tooth mouse.
Aww.
I think that's cute.
Is quite cute.
Like Homer Simpson, like money can be exchanged for goods and services.
For goods and
mouse.
Services.
Wee mouse and it's buying teeth.
I can't lie, your connection cut out there for a second when you were saying it at first, and I thought you said a wee white woman. It was like...
Oh my god, you've
Linda
broke
the Tooth Fairy.
You've broke the illusion of this podcast. Me and Liam are actually in the same room. We're on the phone to each other.
Yeah, we just have good chemistry.
Mm. Yeah. That's it. We definitely want to revisit like Scottish superstitions and like all wives' tales and stuff. So if you've got like any weird customs in your area, like the Bury Man, or you've got like any ooky spooky stories that you want to tell us, like please send it to thecreepyweepodcast@gmail.com, because we want to do an episode like this again, because it's like our last couple of episodes were like kind of like heavy gone, so then like shorter, wee, funnier ones like this would be like, it would be cool to hear like what yous want us to talk about.
Yeah.
But, aye.
And we want like your little anecdotes. Like, I want to hear from people. I want to know someone's out there listening to me. This is all I do it for.
We need your attention. But aye.
We need to feel seen.
So follow us on Twitter at the Creepy Wee Podcast. No, at the Creepy Wee Pod. Instagram at the Creepy Wee Podcast. Rate and review on iTunes, download us on Spotify, rate wherever you listen. But thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.